And the Lord, for his help, ask your attention again to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. The Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We tried to say a few things from verse 6 this morning. We seem to abide a little while upon those words, let your requests be made known unto God. We felt there was a little help there, the requests, the earnest desires, exercises, burdens of the children of God. But through that covenant mercy and love, there is this passage, this way. Oh, this is a blessed way to be made known unto God, the God of all grace, the Father of all mercies. And here we have also that blessed way and the way of the mediator, Jesus Christ the righteous. These requests all made through his name. It is a wonderful faith. You know, if you can plead what the poet said, I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. Let your requests be made known unto God. But I do seek divine help to continue, especially with these words in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Two things I would want to say as we commence, my friends, and that's this. One thing, if you are a child of grace, there is a continued warfare. I thought of that line of the hymn that goes on to say, between the old man and the new. That warfare can never be otherwise, you know. If you've no warfare, you've no grace. If your religion, be it what it is, if there's no warfare to it, no opposition to it, and it may be that you've got opposition from without, but the greatest enemy, you know, is the self that comes against your precious soul and the dealings with it. Well, where there's warfare, there will be a crying out for peace, not a peace at any price. And then there's another thing I felt, and it may be a very simple illustration. I thought of those times in the history of our lifetime anyway, when there was warfare between nations and there was a peace got together. Oh, there was some sort of peace found and entered into, and that peace brought a cessation of the warfare. But I venture to say, my friends, that there are times in the living soul's experience that the warfare proceeds, continues, but there's a peace within it. The storms will rage and the winds will blow. The trials won't alter. Those things which almost drive you to despair will continue at times working within and working against you. But if you and I are in the way everlasting, there will be those seasons when the peace of God will be felt. Doesn't alter the circumstance. Not for a second, does it? In me shall a peace. It came to my mind in prayer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And the peace of God, though the pathway is, as it ever is, a state and condition of warfare, but oh, the effect of this peace, because you know it brings so many blessings with it. A precious soul that feels at peace can enjoy many tokens, many helps, as though I say the warfare has not ceased, the pathway has not altered. And what are the fruits of this peace? Where are the evidences of it? Well, one, my friends, is this, and that's submission to the will of God. That brings peace, and that's from peace also. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What a blessed peace it is. It's not in this sense of the word, and you might forgive me for hesitating there. My friends, we might say this about this peace, it's not a transient one. It's not a transient peace. But then you'll find a poor child of grace say, but you know, I don't always feel to be in it. But what I mean by being that it isn't a transient one, you may know it and you may not know it. You may have an experience of such a time when there was a settled peace upon your spirit. And then you wish for those days again. What I mean, my friends, is this, that the source of this peace, where it comes from, it's an unchangeable source, an unchangeable foundation. If you've once known this precious peace of God, my friends, you'll know it again. And what is more blessed, and oh, may you have gracious faith to believe the truth, my friends, but it is a foretaste of heaven too. The peace of God. When you have God on your side, if I might put it like that, whatever the enemy says and does, my friends, will not contradict that union which is between a precious soul and a gracious God in glory. Oh, the battles will be many, indeed it must be so. How can you live in this dying world as a child of God and not have Satan as your foe, not have the flesh opposing the pathway, and your own evil mind disturbing, distressing, and rebelling against the good and gracious God that called you by his grace and put you in the way everlasting? And the peace of God, oh, but it brings sweet submission. And how does it come, my friends? It is as it is applied. It is as it is revealed. And that precious peace too, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. It comes through various means and ways, spoken into the heart, graciously, freely. And my friends, it is, and it also must surely rest upon a foundation which is the love of Christ to his people. The peace of God. If you have a religion that has no Christ, you've got no peace from God or with him. But a real religion, my friends, is this, that peace by his cross has Jesus made. The peace of God. Bought is the peace that the children of God at times possess. It's been purchased for them. It cost Christ his life that there should be peace. There was times, you know, when he illustrated it by his word. The disciples on the lake, and they cried out unto him, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the waves and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. But you know, my friends, the peace that a sinner seeks after comes through his shed blood. That's where there's real peace. My friends, oh, that precious blood will bring peace. Peace to the conscience, peace in the heart. a peace that passeth knowledge and understanding then, and the peace of God. What a price was paid that that peace should be felt. And then again, this is the wonder of all the blessings of the Trinity, isn't it? It's to whom it's for. Oh, never lose sight, my friends, of the condescending mercy of a three-one God. Never lose sight of that condescension. Who is it that shall indeed enjoy this peace? Well, those that don't deserve it. Those that are by nature sinners and by practice sinners. The peace of God. The very presence of the Lord with his people will bring peace. A very word from the Lord spoken into the heart softly, like that still small voice that Elijah heard, will bring peace. A word applied by the power of the Spirit to the heart, my friends, will bring peace. And the peace of God. There's nothing more opposite, I was going to say, than a holy God in glory and a fallen wretch of a sinner that walks this earth. But in between, in garments dyed in blood, is a precious Christ and the channel of mercy to the children of God. And in that channel of mercy is this glorious grace, this peace of God. It will pass all understanding. And when the precious Holy Ghost makes you to know it and to feel it, and for a measure of time, be it short or long, some enjoyment of it, my friends, you will say, this, you cannot understand, you can't put words together, which passeth all understanding. The natural understanding of a man cannot understand any of the mercies and goodnesses of God to a poor wretch. But to put together words that would explain to anybody how what this effect of peace on the heart, in the heart and upon the conscience, and in the pathway also. Oh, some of the most fearful times of a child of grace has been turned to blessing because this influence of peace has come. And it's taken away all the natural fear. It's removed all such oppositions to the pathway. It brings such a obedience to the way and to the will of God, the peace of God. But it's a purchased peace. It's purchased by the precious person and sufferings of Jesus Christ, and the peace of God. I say again, my friends, there can't be anything more of a contrast, that God in his eternal glories conveys peace through his Son into the hearts and minds of a poor, troubled, distressed and burdened sinner. I do believe too, you know, and I must say this, if you read the account of the eunuch as he was baptized in that certain water, the last we hear of him is this, and we never hear any more of him. And he went on his way rejoicing. What then was in his heart to make him rejoice? What was the song that flowed from his lips to his gracious God? Well, my friends, it was generated, as it were, by the peace of God in his soul. A few moments previous, well, he didn't know the first thing about salvation. He had no knowledge of Christ, who he was, though it was recorded in ancient scripture. But the blessing of the Spirit, taken of the words of the whole of Isaiah's prophecy, and opening up to his understanding and gracious faith, given to believe it and to receive it, and that desire to obey the gospel precepts and commands. And so doing, it brought peace. There is a word, you know, I know it's a sad word, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there isn't any to the disobedient either. You'll not find, my friends, if you and I, and I've walked paths of disobedience, open opposition to the will and purposes of God, but it never brought me a scrap of peace. Because there's that fighting against the wills and the will of God and the purposes of God in the pathway of experience, and oh, how haughty self and wicked, the wicked mind fight against the dealings of God. But my friends, as enabled, and I say it very carefully, the Lord grant grace as enabled to fall under, to know no will but His, my friends, brings a sweet peace upon the spirit of such of the children of God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. God given, God maintained. And oh, if you've known it, my friends, you'll know it again. The peace of God. And then poor sinners know it when they are brought into the understanding of forgiveness. Forgiveness through the sacrifice and merit, through His offering upon the tree at Calvary, through that precious blood that was shed for many, through that and the application of those precious truths to the soul, and gracious faith going out after the offering of Jesus Christ. My friends, preach in peace and the peace of God, and it flows through the wounds of the sacrifice. A sinner, when convinced, you know, of their sin, has no peace, no peace at all. If you're under conviction of sin, and when you are, when you're convinced by the precious spirit of your state as a sinner, there isn't any peace, there can't be. Oh, it works upon the spirit, my friends, it brings darkness and distress. Oh, it's like that power of the legion of devils to that poor man that was in the mad Gadarene. There was no peace. From night and day, we read, he cried and cut himself. Chains couldn't restrain him. Men, puny men, couldn't overcome his supernatural strength. And he lived in the tombs. And he was no peace. No peace at all. And then the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, in compassion, mercy, and love to his precious soul, went across that stormy lake, entered into the place where he was, spoke to the legion of devils and delivered him from them. Where did peace bring him? Oh, my friends, a place where you'd want to go if you were graciously taught. Where was he found? Well, he didn't go home and say, I'm cured. He didn't want to. There's a very sweet word in the gospel, you know. And he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That's where the peace of God brought him. Clothed and in his right mind. What was he clothed with? Well, no doubt he was clothed in the natural sense of the word, my friends, but he had a righteousness which was imputed. Sitting at Jesus' feet, there's no better spot. Oh, there is another spot, by the way. There's another precious spot if you can get there. The Holy Spirit bring you all there. And that's the foot of his cross. And the peace of God. The foot of his cross. If you've seen that blessed sight of a crucified Saviour, a surety for his people, a substitute, the man who took upon himself not only a body like our own, but the sins of the church. And by his offering of himself before his Holy Father in glory, brought forgiveness and pardon and peace, the peace of God. But oh, that precious place, You know, the nearer you get to Christ, in precious faith you'll find that peace. When there's a division, there isn't any. Where there is that division made by sin, my friends, there's no peace. None at all. And the peace of God. God the Father, Son and Holy Ghost, Triune Jehovah, one God, three distinct offices. The purpose of it all, if we might put it simply, is for the salvation of the church, to redeem them from the fall, to make a way to glory, to take them one by one into the eternal bliss of God and amongst those redeemed saints forever and forever. The peace of God, you know, is an eternal blessing. Well, I said it's not a transient one. That is, although you may lose the sweetness of the peace of God, my friends, the substance is never removed. You may indeed go seasons without any sense of the peace of God. But you know, it is another proof of the work of grace, is that you'll desire it. And you'll pray after it and you'll seek for it. And such will be the pathway which you will be put into, directed in, according to the will and purposes of God. You'll cry out for peace. The peace of God. Oh, what a sweet influence that is. But ever remember, my friends, the price that was paid that a sinner might indeed dwell in peace. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You won't know how. You may know indeed how it was, in the sense that where it comes from. You might feel its sweet influence in the soul as the precious person of Christ is revealed to you. When you see an interest in his sufferings, in his wounds, in his groans and sighs, and then realize it's all your sins that put him on the cross, all to produce this blessing of peace. But go back to the chosen path, not the path you chose, the path he chose for him, for his people. A path which, my friends, you can't walk without grace, and you can't walk without living faith, and you can't walk without his help. And the tumults and the troubles and the cross-handed providences within that pathway, these are the ways to glory. And the children of God walk on. And there's precious little peace unless the Lord comes along and speaks into the soul. And when he melts your very heart in contrition, brings you down in submission to the will and purposes of God, those times, my friends, are blessed seasons in this world. But the peace of God, my friends, is not the peace of the world, not the peace of men. I thought of reading as well, or instead rather, the third of the Colossians, the 14th of John. The dear Lord Jesus was about to go into suffering. He was on the way, as it were, to Gethsemane. What lay ahead of him, only he knew. That is, in its intensity, in its distress. But in those chapters 14, 15 and 16, he speaks so kindly and compassionate to his dear disciples and believers. And the 14th of John says this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." The very chapter begins, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And then there's the title of this blessed Saviour. Perhaps it's only mentioned once a year. When we think of the day of his natural birth, when our minds go to Bethlehem and to that manger, and then we remember his titles, the Prince of Peace. My friends, he is by very title the Prince of Peace, but he is by his blessed work to bring peace, and the peace of God. which passeth all understanding. I've always found, and I believe I'm right in saying this, that whilst the mind is at enmity to God, my friends, there can never be peace. Whilst we try to put the crooked things straight, while we try to indeed deal with the things we can't deal with, but then resting graciously, I hope, mercifully upon an all merciful and gracious God, my friends, and leaving it there, I find that very hard. Oh, you sung in that hymn just now, cast ye still on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh, I will all thy burdens bear, I will all thy needs supply. Would be a wonderful mercy if we could, more and more, you know. What I don't know how at times is how to leave it there. I've always said to you, and I say it to myself, he doesn't need our help to do anything. But you know, if you live in this world of sin and woe and tribulation of some sort or another is your lot, oh, for grace to be able to lay it on the Lord and leave it there. I quoted this morning that line out of the 46th Psalm, be still and know that I am God. And when everything around's going wrong, my friends, and all perplexity and doubts fly hither and thither, and the enemy accusing you, and self with all its pity and opposition to the way, all part of the warfare, how can you be still? How is it possible? I believe those words mean really don't put your hand to God's work. It's a word, a good word, be still and know that I am God. But it's only as that blessed grace of peace is poured into the heart. It's only when that sweet influence of peace is found, my friends, can you ever be still. Oh, how can it be so? You know, it doesn't matter what affliction or pathway you're called to walk, what trial you're into, and what perplexities it brings, and what impossible things seem to lie in your way. My friends, the natural mind rises up against it, or tries to find a way through it. But if that blessed peace flows through, the peace of God, that which flows through Jesus, the channel of the of mercy through him, who is the Prince of Peace, well, then I believe there is a little while when you can be still. And then the untrodden steps, I'm sure that each, my friends, will be concerned with whatever lies in the path. You can't be indifferent. Can't be indifferent in a spiritual sense. You wonder where the scene will end sometimes. Can't be indifferent to whatever lies according to the will of God, my friends. But if he breathes peace, you can leave it with him. You can lay it at his feet. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I told you many a few years ago now, there was a dear friend of ours dying of cancer. And he went to see someone in the Lister Hospital down at Stevenage, and the sister said to his wife, how is it he's so quiet? How is it that he's so peaceable? And the answer was, because he's going to heaven. That's why. It isn't natural, you know. This goes against the grain of natural understanding. How is it that in a time of a dying sinner, with the prospect of death, my friends, the prospect of heaven exceeded all that, there shall we see his face, and never, never sin, and from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasure in. That was what prevailed in that dear man's heart. Oh, he was very afflicted. And so the Lord took him to glory, but, my friends, he dwelt in that sweet measure of peace. He once said, it's not dying that troubles me, it's how I will. What shall come upon me? What infirmity? What deep affliction? And what state will I be bodily? It wasn't dying that troubled him, it was that pathway to it. and the pace of God. Oh, that pace of God therefore brings sweet submission, falling under the will and purposes of God. I remember once in a very deep trial, oh, many, many years ago now, I was travelling on a train on a Sunday, and in those days the word of God was more freely shown to the general public than it is now. But we pulled up at a station and there was a text on the wall, and I've never forgot it. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I remember walking home from the station. I had to walk a mile and a half, and it was pouring hard, and I sang most of the way. It was very late, very dark and very wet, but you know, I felt a little measure of that peace in my soul. And I remember singing this: and if our dearest comforts fall before his sacred will, he never takes away our all himself, he gives us still. And he very nearly did, my friends, he very nearly did take away those natural comforts. But oh, the peace of God, a bought peace, a purchased peace, but then again, a freely given peace. A freely given, you have to pray for peace, you know. The troubled heart and mind and spirit and pathway of a child of God can't be walked out, my friends, without that there shall be a pleading for some sense of this peace of it. It may not alter your way, may not at all alter it, but it makes the path bearable, and it makes the soul willing, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. That's one of the blessed effects of this inward peace. Keeps your heart and mind. And who doesn't need such words, my friends, or to understand such words in the experience of the word? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. What does it mean? Is there anything else that could? Well, if you've got an old nature, my friends, you'll know it's impossible that your heart and mind is kept. Kept from what? Well, it's not only kept from, but it's kept to. It's when that peace that passeth all understanding prevails, when it influences your steps, when it goes with you night and day in trial and trouble, my friends, there shall be a keeping of your hearts and minds. Keeping it from what, though? Keeping you from that dreadful sin of speaking against God, from rebelling against his holy mind and will, challenging God, as it were, to the very authority that he should do such things in your lives. You know, you've heard it all from these worldly professors, haven't you? Oh, it's very remarkable how religion is so peaceful and so quiet and so rejoicing until the Lord does something which they can find no answer for, and then their old nature rises up against it. Well, some of you knew I had to take a funeral of a dear woman of 30 odd years of age, and those she worked with, and there were some that went, that made a profession, not, I can't remember it, it was in a Baptist chapel, but oh hell, they couldn't see this matter could be straight, that such a young person should be taken from time into eternity. And they were virtually arguing against the purposes of God. My friends, the Lord has ways and means of taking his people home. Some of the dearest ones I've known have been young, really in the way. 25 years of age, I remember one. And this dear woman suffered much, but she's home to glory. Thou shalt see my glory soon when the work of grace is done. Partner of my throne shalt be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? You know, sometimes when you have to deal with professors, when the Lord puts his hand and doesn't always explain why he does. Oh, the natural heart will soon show what natural religion they've got. When there is that agreement to the will of God, that falling under, that submitting to it, my friends, then your hearts and minds are kept. And don't you need to pray for it to be kept? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. And that's the only way it will be kept. Subduing the powers rising up within you against the purposes of God. Questioning divine authority. I believe in a measure, if you go and look at that chapter in the first book of Samuel, when the Lord spoke in the night season to Samuel as he lay in the temple, and he told him a few things relative to Eli's wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and he pronounced upon them indeed the sentence of death. You know, in the morning Eli called for Samuel and said, what did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? What a fearful task of a young man to go and tell Eli the high priest what the Lord had said. How relative to his distress would it be? And he told him every whit. What was the reply? It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. My friends, that's grace in the working out of it, you know. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Well, my friends, how blessed it is when such things come into the way. Such things, my friends. And there's a wonderful sense of peace when it comes. It overcomes all the opposition of nature, takes away all the fears, and especially when that peace is accompanied, I was going to say, with that grace of love. When the two are united, when you can see the dealings of the Lord are not in anger but in his dear covenant love, and it brings this measure of peace to the soul then. And there's a walking out. Oh, you'll be so dependent on your God. You'll have to lean hard on him. You'll have to pray against the enemy, lest he should come in like a flood, or in other ways that he does, lest he should come as a whisperer and bring distress and trouble. My friends, whatever lies in your path, you won't manage it, and you shall never indeed find a way of managing it. But if the peace of God prevails, and then you can, as I mentioned this morning, leave God to order all your ways. You can indeed, that beautiful line, come back to me time and again during the day, leave God to order all thy ways. When you're unable to do so, as grace is in exercise, then indeed, my friends, there's a measure of peace. Obedience will bring peace too. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Ever notice, my friends, that the blessings and mercies and favours that the child of God enjoys can only come through one channel. Oh, out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. But there is a channel, and it's a channel of mercy. It stands between. When you pray, there's a man that stands between whose garments are dyed in blood. When you seek at the throne of grace for the blessed operation of the Spirit in prayer, plead the name of Jesus, the man who stands between. But this is the channel from which all these blessings and favours flow. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And through the mediator's name and merit, those requests are made. Those burdens are laid before the Lord. Those heavy trials are laid down before the Lord, seeking grace to endure unto the end, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. But then, my friends, I said it was a token of glory. That perfect peace which is with Christ and through Christ and by his offering for the sins of his people, procured peace. My friends, it's this blessing and favour that shall keep your hearts and minds. Whatever it may be that tries and troubles you, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. But just for a few moments at the end of this poor discourse, my friends, might I remind you too of his own precious work in bringing his children home to glory. Whatever path you've been brought through, whatever path what the Lord has decreed for you to indeed have to travel through, none of us have reached that last place, that place where hearts shall fail and the soul shall be transported into glory. Not one of us have come to a dying bed as yet. Will we not need, my friends, on that day, on that account, on that moment, some sense of this blessing, the peace of God? The peace of God which passeth all understanding. I told you before, and I'll say it again, to his glory and honour, my friends, I have a sermon at home, the last sermon of the late Mr. Collier, the pastor at Lynn's Lane. And oh, how tender did he preach it. The last sermon he preached, he knew he wouldn't preach anymore. His heart was in glory. What was the text? And I'm now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Oh, my friends, what a blessed way to end a preaching and a life of the ministry. There he was, preaching what he felt. He felt that blessed approaching glory. You know, that's wonderful to a sinner, to look beyond this veil of tears, to see the place where peace is always. Not a wave of trouble roll, my friends, across such souls. They enter into peace. Heaven is the place where peace shall be always known. This veil of tears has and shall at times know a little measure of peace in such souls that are following Jesus. But my friends, to be with him, to see him as he is, without a cloud between, to see him in his glorified state, but to see within his holy body that remarkable mystery, we have to say, there in a body like our own, united eternally, holy humanity and deity, the signs of the sufferings of Jesus, the nail marks in his hands and feet, all those, my friends, brought peace, the peace of God, and to be forever with the Lord, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. What I was going to say was, my friends, how the old nature rises up against that day of departure. How it is, it's naturally so, it must be so surely, as it's a way we've never walked. My friends, what frantic mind there is, and what fears rise up, what distresses appear on the very thought of the borders of the grave. And the apostle writes, doesn't he, about those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage for fear of death. And so it is, my friends, even to the wicked, they're not always so hard-hearted and can look on death. Some of them, my friends, find a very dreadful fear of death when they come to it because they've nothing to comfort them with. But yeah, I believe a child of grace, my friends, will know this. He'll know a need of it. And he'll feel the sweet influence of it in that day. The peace of God. Well, this, if you are blessed with forgiveness, and may you all be blessed with forgiveness, but you know in the blessing of forgiveness there isn't any thing there to come between to hinder. Satan can do what he likes, trouble down to the very last, my friends, but if there's no sin to answer for, if there's no iniquity to put a thorn in your pillow, no forgiveness for past iniquities, it will be a solemn death, my friends, but the child of God who rests in that finished work and knows what it is in a measure to have peace in his soul through forgiveness, though the natural side of a man will always fear that dissolution of the body, my friends, but it is to enter from this peace of God into its glorious and sacred knowledge eternally. But I must close. We have the ordinance. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Notice this today. Father, God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and our pastor will preach next Lord's Day. There will be Thanksgiving services on the 17th of September, and Mr. Wood will preach. Our last hymn is hymn 594. Read first two verses, and we'll sing from verse 3. O my soul, with wonder tell, Jesus has done all things well, and through his atoning blood I've a settled peace with God. He bequeathed his peace to me as a gift divinely free. And it is his righteous will that my soul in peace shall dwell. From verse 3, hymn 594.
seek thy blessing, Lord, on thine own holy word this day. Oh, much is needed to forgive what's been wrong, but oh, do bless that thine own word. Now be with those of us who sit at thy table. Lord, we never got there on any ground of merit, Lord. We shan't be found there this night because we deserve to be there. Lord, thou hast made us painfully aware, O Lord, that we're not worthy of the least of these mercies. But we trust and believe thy grace has made the way. Oh, be with us there. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us, both now and forever. Amen.